Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 17, verses 1 through 7, and then verse 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Let us pray. Lord God, we do pray that you will bless us this morning as we hear your word. We pray that you will give us insight. We pray that you will inspire us and open our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. Or as I was telling our young friends this morning, that is the gospel, the good news. One of the things that is delightful about reading the gospel stories about Jesus is that each one of them is unique and distinct, and it tells many of the stories in a slightly different way. It makes it personal. As you know, only Matthew and Luke tell about Jesus' birth. Only John likens the coming of Jesus to the Word of God taking on human form. And the Sermon on the Mount is unique to Matthew. And only Luke tells the wonderful stories of the Good Samaritan and of the prodigal son. But all 4 gospel accounts include the story of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the multitude with a small amount of bread and fish. The presence of this story in all the Gospels is a clear indication that this was an important event for those who were the first believers of Jesus Christ. It captures Jesus' concern for both the material and the spiritual needs of the people. When they were sick, Jesus healed them. When they were sad, he encouraged them. And when they were hungry, he fed them. They found their fulfillment in Jesus, whom they called the Lord. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 is a special story because it recalls the many times in the past when God acted to feed his people. We remember when God provided manna in the wilderness to feed the children of Israel during the Exodus. In 2 Kings, there is a story of the prophet Elisha feeding a 100 hungry men with 20 barley loaves. And we all remember the story of how God fed Elijah in the wilderness when he had fled from the wrath of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. One of the reasons why this particular story became so important in the early church is that it reminded them of the miraculous meal that they celebrate regularly when they gathered for the breaking of the bread. Could you not hear the Eucharistic implications, or that is, the reminiscence of the Lord's Supper? In Matthew's account, it says he took the bread, he blessed, he broke it, and gave it to them. 2,000 years later, we still gather in Christian community in the same hope of experiencing Jesus Christ in our lives through the breaking of the bread. One of the reasons why this particular story became so important for early Christians is that it drew them together. It helped them to understand that they were worshiping a loving and compassionate God, one to whom they could turn for comfort and to one who they could always count on being fed. Our gospel lesson for today reveals our Lord at a time of physical exhaustion and emotional distress. Some would say that perhaps Jesus was tired, perhaps he was despondent. He obviously indicated that he needed some time away from the crowds. If we were to have read the preceding verses in this particular chapter of Matthew, we would have been reminded that it was at that time that Jesus had visited his hometown of Nazareth, and he had been rejected by his own people. They rejected what he was telling them, and they denied his true identity. And it was also immediately prior to this scene when Jesus received word that his dear friend and cousin, John the Baptist, had been killed by King Herod. And so Jesus was reeling from some of this emotional distress in his life, and he wanted to get away from the crowds. He wanted to spend some time alone. But indeed, that was not to be. The crowds had followed him. So it is in this context that we see Jesus and the disciples, that they have suspended their active ministry in order to observe a time of retreat or Sabbath. Matthew indicates that Jesus decided to pull back from the busyness and the pressures of the world. He wanted to spend time in a deserted place where he might rest and rejuvenate. And this was a good idea, but it simply didn't work. The crowds pursued him as if he were some famous evangelist. They traveled long distances from their homes to be near Jesus. Did they come in fear for their future? Did they come in the hope that he was the Messiah, the long-expected one? We do not know for sure. Matthew tells us that they were determined to see Jesus, but we also see that they, like us, did not plan very well. At first, the disciples seemed uncaring when they told Jesus that the crowds needed to be dismissed. Send them away. Let them go find food for themselves. But Jesus, of course, took a different approach. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. In calling for the disciples to get involved in this crisis of a temporary refugee people, Jesus established the expectation that his followers would use their compassion to make good things happen. This feeding of people in the wilderness was not to be seen as some kind of spectacle to enhance Jesus' fame and popularity among the people, but an insistence that Jesus' followers distinguish themselves by their compassion, their resourcefulness, and their generosity, and also their ability to anticipate Jesus' power. The church treasures this story because it captures the way in which Jesus challenged his disciples to address a problem and not ignore it. Now, the disciples were shocked by what Jesus was suggesting because, like many of us, the disciples approach problems with the theology of scarcity. We do not have enough. We cannot do this. It is out of the question. We should not even try. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus wanted his disciples to think not in terms of what they did not have, but rather in terms of what God had given them. This was a theology of plenty. The message in our gospel lesson is that if we will embrace a challenge, bringing forward what we have, no matter how little, then God will do the rest. Many a Christian congregation has launched a noble endeavor. We have mounted a ministry of outreach. Some have broken ground for a new building, not because they had the money in the bank, but because they had the vision, they sensed the need, and they were willing to trust that God would provide. We must simply remember that this story took on profound importance for the early church for some clear reasons. The story is a sharp reminder that individual Christians must never be so wrapped up in their own problems or concerns that they withdraw from the world and refuse to provide the help and support when others are in need. Left alone, we can easily think like the disciples and say, "Send them away. They are not our concern." But this is not an attitude our Lord will accept. He calls us to be generous and to share. The story also reminds us that all people deserve our concern. As God's instruments, we, simply by the virtue of being in God's grace, have an obligation to reach out to those who are in need. And finally, the story reminds us of just what God can do when we give him what we have. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was not very much as the world measures value. But then Jesus said those amazing words. He said, "Bring them to me." And suddenly, what seemed like very little became enough to feed the crowd. This is a wonderful time to be alive and to be the church. It's a time for us to open our eyes, dear friends, to open our hearts. It's a time for us to listen for the voice of Jesus. It's a time that we do not need to be lost, and we certainly should not abandon hope. May our love and our unbounded compassion be the bread for this world. And let us keep that in mind. Let us keep that very special message of Jesus Christ in mind as now we go to the table and celebrate the Lord's Supper.
Friends, this is the table of the Lord. Oftentimes we partake of the elements here without giving full thought to what this table symbolizes. Remember, it was at a table similar to this that Jesus met with his disciples on the night when he was betrayed. It was prior to this supper that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It was at that moment that he professed his humility, not only to his disciples, but to all of mankind. And it is in that spirit that we now gather at the table, recognizing that it is indeed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we come to celebrate and to understand within our own hearts that it is the humility of Christ that gives us hope for the future. So let us give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being, and you created in us your image. You called us to love and to serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us, shared our joys and sorrows, and offered his life in perfect obedience and trust. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life, so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit on these your gifts of the bread and the cup. We pray that you will instill in us the desire to love you, to serve you, and in exchange, to love and serve our fellow man. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you, and we do pray that you will bless us now as we receive these elements. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. All who believe are welcome at this table. This morning you will be served by the elements being passed to you in the pews. Come to the Lord's table, all who believe.
Let us pray. We sing praises to you, O God, for you have been gracious to us amid the storms of life. We do battle with many enemies within and among us, but you give us confidence and courage to face them. Out of the whirlwind, you answer when we call. We have gathered to listen for the voice we sometimes cannot hear in the daily clamor of our lives. Help us to discard the unnecessary obstacles that keep us from the fullness of life you intend for us. O Lord, whose word rebuked the wind and stilled the sea, speak to us here in the midst of our own particular needs, and let your word abide in us with a transforming sense of peace that we can share with others. Lord, this morning we pray for our youth as they return to school. We pray that you will bless them, that you will keep them safe, and that you will inspire them to learn. We are grateful, Almighty God, for the many reasons we have to celebrate. And this morning especially, we celebrate the birth of Ollie Bell. And Lord, we also know that there are those among us who have special needs. We lift up to you Janie and Mark, John, Tim, and Jennifer, and all of the many others whose names have not been spoken this morning, Lord, but you know them. We entrust them to your care and healing. Touch their lives, we pray, and help them to feel your presence in a special way. We continue our prayers for those who are recovering and those who continue to face uncertainty. Lord, you are an awesome God, the one who has shown us how to live in joy and peace. May we now have the courage to trust you, and may we truly seek that joy and peace by transforming our lives. We pray in the name of your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us return our gifts to the Lord.